Continue our studies now in the life of David, major figure in God's eternal plan, and the man to whom God gave the covenant for the eternal kingdom of Christ. And so David appoints Solomon as king, and we will look at that under the studies on Solomon and in the pictorial studies. And David exhorts Israel to support Solomon and the building of the temple. And this is a very major event. This occurred after Solomon was coronated the first time. Solomon was coronated the first time in haste because David's son was trying to take the throne. And they had to hastily arrange Solomon's anointing. But this is the... This is later, 1 Chronicles 28:1, and obviously David got some energy back here, enough to do this. We saw him, the last time we saw him would be when he is very, very old, and the prophet has to come in, and his Bathsheba has to come in, and they have to stir him up to warn him that the wrong son's going to be getting ready to be crowned. But here he is in 1 Chronicles 28, and God gives him enough strength now to stand, to exhort Israel, to support Solomon, to support the building of the temple. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course. Now we read this before up through verse 8, and it must have been a magnificent assembly, would have been something to behold. All of David's captains and the princes of the tribes, some magnificent assembly, all preparing for the temple, for Solomon's reign. It goes all the way down to chapter 29, verse 25. And David spoke to the people at length. And he starts in verse 4. We read through verse 8 and then verse 9. Thou, Solomon, my son, he's speaking to Solomon now, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with the perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. He's talking to his son. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Do it. Be strong. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. That's a wonderful place. I go there every day, the throne of grace. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. So God gave David the blueprint for the Solomon's temple, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, of the treasuries of the dedicated things. All kinds of treasury rooms. And also for the courses of the priest and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, as we have studied in the previous hour. For all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. We only studied the musical part. It's a magnificent organization of the Levites and their ministry in the temple, which we've studied only a little part of. All was given to David by divine inspiration. He gave of gold by weight, for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also, for all the instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, for the lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups and for the golden basins. He gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims. Ah, the chariot of the cherubims, which God rides in. His throne is over the cherubims. Ezekiel saw it. Ezekiel saw it twice. Ezekiel saw the chariot of the cherubims in the opening vision. And he saw the chariot of the cherubims bringing Christ into the temple to the eastern gate at the end of the prophecy. And there was a copy of the chariot of the cherubims in the temple that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. By his hand upon me. We don't know. But God did it and gave him the very details. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. Do it. Be strong and good courage. Do it. It's commandments. It's military commandment. Be strong, of good courage. Every man has fears. Every honest special forces soldier, I've written many of their writings, they all admit they have many fears. What do? Conquer them. Be strong and of good courage. We have more resources than special forces. We have God, the Spirit, and the Word of God. But we have fears. So be strong and of good courage. Do it. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Solomon, just these short, powerful commandments. Do it. Don't fear. That's what God says to every leader and every parent. Big responsibilities. What? Do it. Do it. God's with you. Do it. He will not fail thee. God will be with thee. What? When you do it. Not when you don't do it. You have no power if you don't obey God. And the more you don't obey God, the less power you have. It's a path of backsliding. The more you rise up and obey God, the more power you get, the stronger you get. Do it. The Lord will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, yeah. Until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the God. I can do it. I can do what God told me to do. That's what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What do you mean? I can do everything God tells me to do. I can do it. And Paul did it. And at the end of his life, he said he's finished his course. He did it. Behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. Ah, willing, skillful men. That's what we need to pray for. God, give us willing, skillful men. God, this is your work. We need willing, skillful men to do this work. How are we going to do this work without help? Give us willing, skillful men. Solomon had a bunch of them. For any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Yeah, willing, skillful men, not just skillful men. We don't need skillful men. We need willing, skillful men. God, increase their number. God will answer prayer. If we sit back and say that we don't have anything, then we won't have anything. But if we see what we need in the service of God and we bring those needs to Him, then we'll have something. It's unbelief that sits around and does nothing because you don't have anything, Pastor. We figure out what we need, and it's God's work, and then we take those needs to Him. One of the first things I've always prayed for is some more men to help me. And God's always answered that. And you can sit around and say, I don't have any help. But that's a waste of time. Pray for help and then you'll get some help. But this is the kind of help we need. Willing, skillful men. Not just skillful. Most skillful men are not willing. For the service of God. They're not. They're too busy with their own business. We need willing, skillful men, willing to serve God, willing to build that temple. We've got a more tip. This is all for us today. The building of that glorious temple is gone. It doesn't exist on earth. But all of this preparation for it is for us in the church, which is far more important than that temple was. The church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. These things are for us. God, give us willing, skillful men. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son. But he's speaking to the whole congregation, but he's speaking to Solomon, but he's speaking before the whole congregation. There's nothing private here. Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold. Prepared with all my might. That's the kind of people we need for the building of the church. Those that prepare with all their might. That was David. Is that you? This work is more important than that work. That was the most glorious building ever constructed upon earth and the most expensive. Probably. But the work of the church is more important. It's more glorious. It has a far greater future. It's far more glorious. We don't have any gold. We don't have one bit of gold in this room, I guess, but maybe some wedding bands. Ah, but it's gold. We're building, hopefully with gold, silver, precious stones before God. Not wood, hay, and stubble. Gold. Real, eternal gold. This is amazing stuff. All these details. All these details are important. Every detail in the Bible, it's important. It's instructive. It's made to meditate upon, not just, boy, that's kind of boring, and skim through it. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, glistering stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, that's a lot of gold, of the gold of Ophir. 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver. And for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? He is giving an invitation. Who then is? Same invitations given today. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? That's what God is saying to young people today. Oh man, that's what God is saying. The work of the church, the work of the Great Commission, the work of preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth, the work of building strong homes for strong churches. Who will consecrate to that work? Consecrate his service. I don't know what you young people are going to do. I don't know you. From what I see, there's maybe a couple of you that seem to be pretty serious about the Lord. Not many. You're not very old yet, but you're old enough to decide what you're going to do. You're old enough to decide what you're going to do. You are deciding what you're going to do. Your response to these, this is a very serious time in the Word of God. It's immersion. You've never had anything like this in your whole life. Nobody here probably has. I haven't. And you are deciding every message what you're going to do. You are. And you are. And you are. Some of you are not very old yet, but you're old. In that teenage years, you're becoming adults and you're making decisions. You're making your decisions, even though you might not be speaking them. They're secret. But you're making your decisions. Who will consecrate himself? Here I am, Lord. You're going to decide what you do with your life. You've got examples all around. You've got men that spend their time mostly just working, giving very little time to the church. You've got men around here that do that, as I've noticed. And you've got some men, some, that are very dedicated to the Lord. And they have been here at these meetings. So you've got examples before you. Different kinds of examples, these young people. And we are examples to these young people. And we are affecting them. Especially those you're close, they're close to you. What are you going to do? This is not just old stuff. This is for now. It's all for now. It must be practical. The Bible must be practical or we're wasting our time. You young people, what are you going to do? There's nothing more glorious than the will of God. Amen. To know God, there's nothing more beautiful than to know God. And to seek to know Him better and better and better and better. And you know Him by obedience, and you know Him by salvation, and you know Him by service. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and the hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. They did. They heard that challenge and they offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jael, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. And it caused them to rejoice. And it does. When you surrender to God and you offer willingly, it causes joy. Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. He's old. He's very old. But here he is rejoicing because of the willingness of the people to obey God and to give to God's business and to build the temple. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." So David ends up by blessing God and praising God. And that was his whole life and that was his passion. And here he is at the end of his life. Nothing's changed. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. God owns all. God is life. There is not any life apart from God. He made us. We've not made one thing. We've never made anything. Everything belongs to God. Everything is for God. It's what David is saying. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power. And might, and there is no power or might but of God. And in thy hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all. All strength comes from him, and he has all strength. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And who am I? But who am I? David's humility. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Who are we? Oh, there's nothing. We're not worthy. We're not worthy to serve God. We're nothing. Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? It all belongs to you, God. This gold, where did we get gold? Gold came out of the ground. Where did it come from? God put it there. So what are we doing? Offering back to God what he gave to us. So who are we? At the end of the day, who are we? Still nothing. It's all God's grace. It's all God's grace. The whole issue of rewards. God, the Word of God, the New Testament speaks a lot about rewards. A lot. A lot. Christ's parables emphasize the rewards. And he gives the talents, and how you use your talents will depend on the reward and the position in the kingdom and such things. A reward, particularly positions of ruling. And it's repeated in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and many passages. Peter talked about it and John talked about it. And Paul talked a lot about rewards. And rewards have to do with adoption. We are saved by God's grace. It's a free gift. And why are we rewarded? It's all about adoption. If I am saved, I am adopted child of God. And I am therefore in his service, as a priest, as an ambassador, as a builder of the church, and all these things. As an adopted son, I am in his business. And the rewards come by doing that business. It all has to do with adoption. Rewards. And so David is saying we're nothing. We are nothing, but God wants to reward us. Oh, Lord God, and as were our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Yeah, we're just nothing. We're a shadow. What in the world are we? Nothing. Oh, Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. It's all yours, Lord. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. He's talking to God, the God he knew so well. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. Keep this, he's praying, keep this in their hearts, Lord. Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. The palace, but he's talking about the temple. David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. He is leading them in worship. He will lead in worship in the millennial temple. He talks about it in his own Psalms. And all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers. Bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the King. David is leading them in worship at the very end of his life. Very end. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and offering sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. They made Solomon the son of David king the second time after that first hasty anointing, and anointed him under the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. There was unity finally. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Ah, but there's a greater than Solomon coming, and all this points to the millennial kingdom. It was a glorious scene. David spoke at length. He recounted how that God chose him to be king over Israel. How God had chosen him. He points back to 2 Samuel 7. And God promised him an eternal throne. David recounted how that God chose Solomon from among his sons to be king of Israel. He chose Solomon to build the temple. We cannot choose our calling. David had many sons. Solomon was not the oldest. In fact, Solomon might have been the youngest. But God chose Solomon. We saw that God named Solomon. And God loved Solomon. God chose Solomon for this eternal work. He chose a younger son over an elder. Many times that happened, such as with Jacob and Ephraim and David himself. Solomon was God's sovereign choice. We cannot choose our callings. We must accept what God, where God puts us, what God gives us, and then do it. Solomon is the forerunner of and the figure of Christ. Of course, God said of Solomon, I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments. Well, Solomon was not constant, as we know. He was not constant to do God's commandments, but he's just pointing to Christ, greater than Solomon, Jesus. Jesus said, a greater than Solomon's here. And we see this disappointment by God. Solomon, a forerunner, constant to do. If he be constant to do my commandments, constant to do. That's what God wants. Constant. Greek, the Hebrew word hezek, and is translated prevail. To prevail. That's what you've got to do to be obedient. You've got to prevail over disobedience. To hold. To be strong. Joshua 1:9 is translated to retain. Judges 7:8. Obedience. Constant to do. David refers to the covenant of Sinai in verses 8 and 9. The covenant of Sinai in 1 Chronicles 28. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you. Keep and seek. Verse 7, moreover, I will establish his kingdom. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, keep and seek for all the commandments. For all the commandments. That is the commandment of the law. That is the heart of the law. That's the demand of the law. And that's why we can't be saved by the law. We can't do it. We can't do it. And so the law is a schoolmaster to point us to Christ for our salvation. The covenant of Sinai. And God gave David the pattern for the temple. He received it by divine inspiration. The second temple built by Zerubbabel. We don't read that there was any pattern from God. They just built it. And then Herod came along and expanded it and glorified it, but he had no pattern from God. The last temple that was built upon God's pattern was Solomon's temple. And the next temple is called the third temple. And it will not be built upon God's pattern. It will be built by apostate Jews. And it will be occupied by the Antichrist. But there is coming a temple that will be built upon God's pattern, and that is the millennial temple. And the pattern is already in the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. Exact detailed blueprint of that millennial temple. And Solomon's temple was built according to God's blueprint. And David exhorted Solomon to be strong and of a good courage and to overcome fear. And David recounted how that he had prepared for the temple. He recounted it before them in detail. Details in the Bible are important. David exhorted the rulers of Israel to follow his example. And they did. And then David worshiped the Lord in prayer before the congregation. And we see that magnificent prayer. And we have in the notes some of the lessons from that prayer. David's personal knowledge of and love for God permeates that prayer. He calls God by the covenant name, Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah, the God of the unconditional covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, the God of salvation. David acknowledges that he and his people are merely offering to God what is already his. Humility. He acknowledges that man's life on earth is like a shadow. David states that the holy God trieth the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. That's what God loves. He's a righteous God and He loves righteousness. And He tries every heart. He looks at every heart and He tries every heart. David asked God to prepare the people's hearts to Himself and to give to Solomon a perfect heart. To keep God's commandments. He asked God to do that. And Solomon did that for a while. David commanded the people to worship the Lord. And they offered these incredible thousands of sacrifices. Thousands, 3,000 altogether. Bullocks, rams, lambs. 3,000. Blood everywhere would be flowing across the temple. Blood, the sound of the dying and the bleeding. And the... what is this? Well, it's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of the cross. It's a picture of how valuable what Christ did there on the cross, the sufficiency, far more than 3,000 animals. The blood of Christ. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. And then Solomon was coronated the second time in a more public, formal manner than the first time. Zadok was ordained a high priest. Zadok had remained loyal. Thank God for loyal men. Timothy was loyal. Just right to the end of right to the end, Timothy's there. The last time we see Paul in 2 Timothy 4, Timothy's there. All the way to the end, Timothy was loyal. He was obedient to his calling, which was to be a Timothy to Paul. That was his whole calling. Not any kind of independent ministry. We all want to be independent, but we have to submit to God's calling. There's Timothy all the way to the end. How wonderful that is. It's rare. Zadok was such a man. Zadok. He had remained loyal during the revolt of Absalom. Not everybody did. He remained loyal in the revolt of Adonijah, the last revolt. Not everybody did. Abiathar, formerly the high priest, had followed Adonijah at that point. Not Zadok. Joab turned away from David. Not Zadok. Loyal, faithful. Serving God to the end, but serving the man that God put over him. The leader, David. And now Solomon, because that was God's appointment. So Zadok was not going to follow somebody else. God chose Solomon. I'm not going to follow somebody else. God chose Solomon. Oh, loyal, faithful men. You need to make a commitment to be that man. To the very end. That's what we need. That's what we've got to have strong churches. We've got to have committed, faithful, dependable, loyal men. And the only thing that will cause them to leave is the perfect will of God. Not some idea you get to go do something else. But clearly the will of God. That's what we teach our people. If you leave in the will of God, there will be peace and there will be blessing. If you leave out of the will of God, there will be confusion. It won't be right. It won't be right to the church. It won't even work out right for you. So we must, in every decision, be like Zadok. Okay, here's Absalom. Should I follow him? Here's Adonijah. Should I follow him? No, it's not God's will. Just keep going here. And so Zadok. The rulers of Israel, including David's other sons, submitted themselves to Solomon. David's other sons had followed Adonijah. But now they've gotten themselves straightened out. And thank the Lord for that. And now they're on the right page. And now they're submitted to God's will. Well, think about it. All these boys grew up in that same family, and it was a mess. It was a mess. David had not disciplined his sons. But here they got themselves straightened out at the end, and there's peace in the family, peace in the kingdom. And God magnified Solomon and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. And indeed he did, because he is a picture of Christ. And he had the most magnificent, the richest, the wisest kingdom that's ever existed on earth. Not the largest, but the most magnificent, the richest, and the wisest. And that includes Egypt or any of them. And so, David's last ministry there before Israel, turning everything over to Solomon, his son. It's very beautiful. It all happened in the will of God. God greatly blessed David in his old age. It's very encouraging. God's mercy is encouraging. But for mercy, there must be true repentance when there's sin. You can't just ignore the sin and say, oh, I'll get mercy. Well, God's very merciful. But David's repentance, true repentance, is what brought all those blessings of his old age. There would not have been that. In fact, he would have died there. God said that. God had Nathan tell him, I won't kill you. Why? Because you've repented. So what? I would have killed you. There is a sin unto death. The fact that more Christians don't sin unto death is because so many aren't true Christians. And so we're going to stop there. Our studies in David, and then continue them tomorrow, the Lord willing.